My friend Rudy gave me the best advice. He's like, you always have to have two beers with you at a soccer game. If you ever get on camera and you chug that one and then you throw that down and you go to the next one. I was like, that's the energy that I grew up with.
Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Offside with me, Taylor Twellman. Today, we've got a really fun conversation with actor Paul Scheer, longtime co-host of the film podcast, How Did This Get Made? You also may know him as Andre in the League and Mitch in Fresh Off the Boat. He also has another movie podcast called Unspooled and is publishing his first book, a memoir called Joyful Recollections of Trauma, which comes out next month. I had an absolute blast talking to Paul, but how about last weekend in Major League Soccer? What a weekend we got. It started in Portland with former LAFC goalkeeper Maxime Crépeau getting sent off for the Timbers pretty much as the second half kicked off.
He's pointing. Oh, and he's shot straight hard for Maxime Crépeau. It goes pear-shaped in a hurry.
And from the ensuing free kick, Mateusz Bogusz scores his second of the game to earn a draw for LAFC. That was just the first game of the weekend. Orlando City had to come from behind twice with the game winner coming in stoppage time.
McGuire!
While Charlotte and Toronto also played out in a back-and-forth 3-2 win, with the Crown taking home all 3 points and Toronto losing their third in a row.
Back on the attack for Charlotte!
And of course, the showpiece of the weekend. I was there. It was insane. A 3-2 final score in Kansas City where Inter Miami picked up the win in front of 72,000 people. All that leaves us with more musical chairs at the top. Inter Miami lead the East again with 15 points. And in the West, the LA Galaxy's win over the Vancouver Whitecaps returned them to first place on 15 points as well.
Is the cross there for Pacel? It is for Fagundes!
And this weekend, there are opportunities for both teams to stay up there. On Saturday, Miami hosts Nashville, who hasn't won in their last three, while the Galaxy have a Cali Classico against the bottom of the West and the bottom of the league, San Jose Earthquakes. And if rivalry matches are your thing, they're mine, I'll tell you that right now, there's plenty more to pick from this weekend. Houston Dynamo, Austin will play. Austin just beat FC Dallas a couple weeks ago.
Goal!
Meanwhile, Kansas City hosts a rematch of last year's MLS Cup Round 1 big upset over St. Louis City. Will St. Louis City get revenge? And the Seattle Sounders and Vancouver Whitecaps celebrate their 50th year of their derby. Messi is back, the rivalries are on, and the quest for playoff positioning is heating up. Watch it all in only one place, MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Saturday was a big night in Kansas City, Missouri. Messi and his pink-clad entourage were in town, and 72,000 seats were filled at Arrowhead Stadium. That is the fourth largest standalone crowd in MLS history. But it was also an anniversary, a celebration. 28 years to the day, Sporting Kansas City made their debut in this league as the Kansas City Wiz, April 13th, 1996. It was a 3-0 home win at Arrowhead against the Colorado Rapids, where, ironically, Inter Miami sporting director Chris Henderson was on the visiting side, and one of the goals was scored by current head coach for the Chicago Fire, Frank Klopas.
Crossed into the box. It's alive for Klopas, and he scores! Frankie Klopas!
Sporting Kansas City won their first trophies in 2000, doubling up on the Supporters' Shield and MLS Cup, with current coach Peter Vermes winning MLS Defender of the Year in a backline that posted 22 clean sheets in 38 games. Still just as businesslike then as he is now.
We are the champions. That is the best thing in the world. Hard work, and we got it done. Thank you.
In their first few years, Sporting Kansas City played all of their games at Arrowhead Stadium. Attendances average, we're being generous here, around 10,000. I played there 7 times in the league. There's 3 things I remember. One, of the 10,000 people that were in the building, 7,500 were Twelmans. I have a lot of cousins all over Missouri. Two, anyone that heckled me, I could stop in the middle of the game and literally have a conversation with them, and all 10,000 people could hear what I was saying. And three, all the way up in the commentary booth, because there were so few people, you could literally hear the commentary of the game. Needless to say, times have changed. But a little nugget for you. Their last game at Arrowhead, competitive game that is, was in September 2008 against the LA Galaxy, where Inter Miami owner David Beckham came to town, and they only drew a modest 26,000 fans.
For Donovan, off that of Jack Dewsbury. That is it. Full time has been reached, and a huge win for the Kansas City Wizards here at Arrowhead Stadium as they defeat the Los Angeles Galaxy 2-0.
Around that time, Kansas City was in trouble. Attendances declining, missing playoffs, until the Illig family showed up and stepped up. Part of a local ownership group that purchased the club, then transformed it, rebranded, rejuvenated it, and rooted it in the local community. When you go to games, trust me, you can feel it. All day in Kansas City before kickoff, all week long on sports talk radio and news stations, you got people stopping me, telling me how excited they were to be part of the day. What a day it was. 72,000 fans. That's more than half of the full season attendance when Kansas City did the double in 2000. They brought a hell of an atmosphere, and both teams delivered.
Kansas City in their sporting blue, Inter Miami in their black and pink.
It was Messi's first MLS start since March 2nd. They go down 1-0 with an electric goal from Eric Tommy. But as is tradition, in the blink of an eye, Messi needed one moment. He shows his vision, his class, a perfect ball through, Diego Gomez one touch, it's 1-1.
That's all it takes for them! In an instant, Inter Miami back in it through the left foot of Lionel Messi.
And then Messi, with a strike from distance that nobody, including goalkeeper Tim Melia, had a shot in the world of stopping it. Back and forth all game long. Eric Tommy again with a great tying goal.
His second of the night.
And then guess who shows up? Luis Suarez. Back post, game winning goal, 3-2.
Another mistake. Punished by Miami.
I'll never get used to seeing Messi in this league. But what I want to get used to is how that stadium felt on Saturday. Even all the way up in the commentary booth, it felt big. And part of the reason it felt big is the loudest stadium in the world, Arrowhead, delivered. And by the way, that's a World Cup stadium. It's hosting a World Cup quarterfinal on July 11th, 2026. So my recommendation is this. One, get your tickets. Two, buy some earplugs because my eardrums are still ringing. Bravo, Kansas City. You delivered. Now, for more of my hot takes, you can go to my Twitter or Instagram pages at Taylor Twellman, my TikTok at Taylor Twellman _, or the MLS YouTube page. And now to my interview with comedian and author Paul Scheer. You might know him from his long-running podcast, How Did This Get Made?, where he breaks down infamously bad movies and asks, how did this get made? Or maybe from his hilarious roles in hit TV shows like The League or Fresh Off the Boat, or maybe from his memorable appearance on VH1's I Love the 70s, 80s, 90s. You get it. But I actually wanted to talk with him because he's a newer fan to American soccer. He's a regular at Angel City FC games in the NWSL, and he's one of the tsunami, I would say, of celebrities at Messi's game against the LA Galaxy at the beginning of the season. And he's got a new book coming out next month called Joyful Recollections of Trauma. So we wanted to get him on the show to talk about his MLS experiences, his take on soccer movies, and the joy and trauma of being a sports fan. All right, Paul, let's get right into it. Inter Miami, LA Galaxy, beginning of the season. You and I were there. One, did you lose a bet? Like, why were you at the game?
First of all, any chance I have to go out to Carson, California, I will take. If you tell me I can get out to Carson, my gosh, I'm going to jump in my car. You know, look, we are a soccer family. We love soccer.
Yep.
And the chance to see Messi play truly was the reason for the season. Now, did I know that the Galaxy was going to go on this run? I mean, they're legit this season. I mean, number one, right? They're looking great. And I know I'm confusing and talking to you because I am wearing my Galaxy shirt, but also LAFC hat.
Yeah,
so,
but you're a typical Hollywood guy. You just pick whatever, just do both. Just dabble in each and then claim everything.
You know what? Here's what I'll say. If it wasn't for LAFC and, in particular, Angel City, I would not have gotten into seeing soccer that much. You know, I went to go see a game in Manchester years ago, and it was amazing. And I thought, oh, nothing can compare to that. And then I saw that Angel City game. I was like, this is so much fun. Then I went to an LAFC game. And I didn't even know how, I don't know how to get to Carson, you know, so it was a little further away. But then that was a great game and such a great vibe. It's also, I feel like the LA Galaxy Stadium is reminiscent of where soccer used to be.
Yes.
Like in a way, like it's very, comparatively, at least to Bank of America Stadium, it's very quaint.
Paul, if you honestly think about it, like because LA Galaxy builds that stadium and it opens in 2003 and I'm playing in the league.
Yeah.
And for all of us that played in front of 15, 20,000 in these NFL stadiums, it was perfect. It was in LA. It was everything you wanted, right? But it also is, and I'm so glad you went there because it also shows you how quickly gasoline was put on this fire of Major League Soccer. And now we've got LAFC, you've got Atlanta, you've got Charlotte, you've got all these places where it's an event. Would you agree with me? The energy that night was eerily similar to an LAFC type of game.
100%. I think that like there was a crowd there that was excited for soccer simply because, look, it's like seeing a rock star, right? Regardless if you like Prince, you like Bruce Springsteen, you see them, you go, oh, this is a talent that is worthy of awe, right? Like you just are impressed and that's it. Like, so I feel like you had soccer fans there, just not even just Galaxy fans, soccer fans, and they wanted to see a great game. And I think a lot of those people paid a shitload of money. They were going to root and bring it.
Paul, in your lifetime, what was the one moment, concert, game, or whatever it may be that you will always tell your grandkids about the feeling you had in the building? I'm just curious.
Okay, well, I'm going to say, let me talk about one of the worst experiences, and then I'll give you one of the best. I'm a Yankee fan. I grew up in New York. Now, I liked the Yankees before it was cool to like the Yankees. I liked the Yankees with Dave Winfield, Don Mattingly. Like, you know, we were fine. Ricky Henderson before he went to the A's, right? No one was clamoring for the Yankees. But I worked in the Bronx. My dad was in the Bronx. I watched tons of games in the bleachers. It was that, I forget the year, but when the Red Sox bypassed the Yankees, it was like early 2000s. And I had these amazing seats and I watched the Red Sox move on to the next step in the playoffs. And they were just destroying the Yankees so bad that the Boston fans were like, hey, we're going to take it easy on the New York fans now because we're up so much and we're so psyched and we feel you, New York. Like, I just remember sitting there and all my friends leaving, boom, 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 boom. And I had these great seats and I was like, no, I'm staying here until the game is over and I'm going to sit in this miserable moment for as long as I can. It's just like there is this true, like, oh, like really just off. It was awful. Right. And look, you take the good with the bad. I'm a Clippers fan, big NBA fan. I've sat at many a Clippers game where it's been just absolutely amazing. You know, we've had these amazing firsts. And then you sit there, I think it was last year when they lost in the play-in game to Portland, you know. So and I had the best seats I've ever had up until that. I was sitting under the hoop next to Ballmer watching that game. And I remember my moment there. You know, you remember the bad ones more than you remember the good ones sometimes. But I remember Ty Lue was walking off the court and I said, Ty, you're a good coach. Because I was like, you know what? He was dealt a hand and he had to deal with it. And I was like, I'm not going to sit here, complain. You're a good coach. And he made eye contact with me. And I feel like, look, people come up to me all the time. They say stuff to me. I feel like that one like got through. Like he looked like, all right. Like there was a moment of like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, get the hell out of here. You know, it's like, no, what could you have done?
Well, the true New Yorker in you would have told him to F off. But for some reason, you've gotten soft now since you've been in LA.
That's it. Well, you know, look, and I think they're just like, these are like, there's nothing better than being at a game where anything can happen. Like I even went to a Golden State game where they were getting walloped last year and they just came back. I think it was against the Pelicans. And I'm not a Golden State. I mean, I like Golden State, sure. But to be in that room, that vibe, as you know, there's nothing like it. Like when something switches, something turns like that, it's unbelievable.
You just said something very interesting. When you go to a sporting event, and quite honestly, a concert or anything, and you can expect the unexpected, it's very hard to quantify that. The way I've described Lionel Messi to people, and I've said, you know, it's a lot like Taylor Swift for what he does outside
Absolutely,
the field where there's
yes.
20,000 people. Like, it becomes this cult, and it's unlike anything I've seen. I played against Messi. People,
I mean,
like
that's
2007,
amazing.
I played against him. He's still doing it. 839 competitive goals in the world, Paul. And yet he's still delivering for you, your family, in an LA Galaxy environment when, quite honestly, he should be like, why am I doing this? He wanted to win, and then he delivers. He does it every time, Paul. It's insane.
Right at the end, it was interesting because we go there, we're watching, and there's a part of me that's like, look, I'm there as a guest of the Galaxy, and I'm very happy to be rooting for the Galaxy. But, you know, look, we all know why we're there. We're there to watch
Absolutely.
What you just described. This player that defies everything that we know about sports. Like, that's what we want to see. It's amazing. And you get to that point where I'm like, oh, what a bummer. We came here and we're not going to see Messi score. It was great to watch him play.
Yeah.
Competitive game. But man, we're not going to get it. And I remember just sitting there going, like, all right, what's it, 2 minutes left of the game or whatever it is.
Yep.
And then
Messi, Jordi Alba, back to Messi. Jordi Alba cuts it across, Messi!
Your stomach dropped. It's like, whoa, it was shocking. It was amazing.
That sense of inevitability. Lionel Messi levels the match for Inter Miami.
You couldn't take your eyes off him the entire game. It was amazing, you know, and I think what's kind of great about him is he's not washed. He's not washed at all. Like, you'd think, oh, okay,
no.
He goes to Miami. He's kind of washed. He doesn't need this. Like,
yeah,
he's playing great. He's scoring what? Like one goal a game on average, right? I mean, it's like...
But Paul, he's also arguing with the refs. He's,
oh, yeah.
He's fighting the opposition. He is 1,000... This is not a retirement for him.
No.
It may be for the kids to be in school in South Florida, but when he wears the uniform for Inter Miami and the whistle blows, he wants to beat your brains in. People don't get that.
Well, that's the thing that's so interesting because it's like, oh my gosh, and I'm going to forget. This is where I'm always bad. Who's the guy who just went to the Saudi Arabia team?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Like, Ronaldo seems like, all right, like they got him to basically be a figurehead, right? He'll go around, he'll be fine. And that's the difference. Like Ronaldo, like amazing, but it's like at this point, I'm curious to see what he does there. But I was so impressed with the way, just the energy around him. And he is, like you said, taking it seriously. It's not a victory lap. It's not just like coming out. I will say, the best security I've ever seen of any player.
Dude, by the way, I will tell you right now, I will do anything to see his bodyguard race. So I want to see him do the 100-meter dash.
His bodyguard just grabbed the guy from the crowd the other day. Like, but this is the thing that I was blown away by, because obviously, look, you know, you forget. Like, there are certain people. I did a movie with Nick Cage, right?
Yep.
Nick Cage is Nick Cage. We all love Nick Cage. But I was talking to the director. He's like, you know what's nuts is we would go to Morocco and he's even bigger in Morocco. And we're like, what? It's like, because these are worldwide stars, right? Like,
yeah.
Worldwide is a different thing. Like, Con Air is playing on TVs in Morocco more than anything, right? So it's like,
yep.
And that's the thing with Messi. It's like, he is we all want him for ourselves. But watching his security guard, there was a photographer on the field, a credentialed photographer. I felt like that guy stepped maybe half a foot over some invisible line that was there. And that guy, that security guard moved in like a lightning bolt, like, boom, back off. It was like photos in it, like in the before the game had started. I was like, this guy is not messing around.
I want to go back to you. There's a million things I could talk about with you, but you grew up in New York and you were a Jets and a Knicks fan. Why Jets?
Why Jets? I think there is a contrarian thing to me. I think this is like what happens all the time. You root for the underdog. The underdog is the more interesting story, right? And when I was growing up, the Giants had won the Super Bowl. The Mets were world champions. And no one cared about the Yankees. And no one cared about the Jets. And there's a thing that I feel like I don't want to be on the bandwagon. I was a Rangers fan. I loved the Rangers right before they won the Stanley Cup. You know, so people would chant all that 1940, bomb. So I was there. You know, I saw all that stuff. But there's a fun, like when the world is against you, like, you know, when it's like,
yeah,
we're against the world. That's a fun feeling as a fan, right? Because there's only the only place to go is up. When you are the favorite, you know, it's a fall. And it's like, that's why I came out to LA and I was like, I'm gonna be a Clippers fan. Like, it was fun to be a Clippers fan because Doc had just gotten there and we have like the beginning of this, you know, Lob City era. So it was different. It was fun. It was exciting. But I couldn't just jump on and be a Lakers fan. You know, I didn't want to just, and I can't. And, you know, people are like, well, why did you leave the Knicks? Why did you leave these teams? I'm like, because I like going to sports. I don't want to be the guy who's like, I go see the Knicks twice a year when they come to LA. I'm like, I can't do that. And I'm not going to watch 4 o'clock games. You know, I want to be all in. I want to be a fan.
But I feel like you're writing a book called Joyful Recollections of Trauma, right?
Yeah.
I feel like only a Jets fan, a Clippers fan.
Well, okay. Let me tell you.
Right? Like, I feel like you're suited perfectly for that title because of who the hell you're rooting for.
I mean, this is it. Like, so I remember when Aaron Rodgers came to the Jets. It was big news all last summer. Okay, Aaron Rodgers coming. And so everybody's like, you excited? And I answered, no, I'm not. I'm not excited for it because I know the Jets. It was not going to work out. And for it to happen so quickly was truly the icing on the cake. I was like, well, that's it. And there we go. And, you know, and so, you know, for me to even bring it back to soccer too, what's kind of fun is like, I'm loving experiencing it. My kids really brought me into soccer, right? They play. So I'm reffing, I'm coaching. And I got really thrown in. We're collecting cards. I got all these things. I'm ready to go. But like, there's a less of a emotional stakes to it yet. Cause I haven't fully like locked in.
Oh no. Well, you need to, because of your Jets background, you need to have some real trauma. You need to have a line of expectation for that to come down. That hasn't happened to you yet in the soccer world.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to games. I'm enjoying the hell out of them. I'm like, this is the most fun.
Which is probably refreshing, and that gets back to your inner kid of just enjoying it. But in the book, do you talk about sports? Like, give us a little something about the book.
Yeah, so my book, Joyful Recollections of Trauma, comes out in May. You know, this book, I think, represents like a small part of my life, you know, but there is this part where it was like going to a Yankee game, buying $5 bleacher seats, and going and just seeing it with my dad and watching them lose all the time, it makes you a little bit stronger. Like, if your expectation is on the floor, you know, like, hey, when you win, it's a good day. So I do. Yeah, I think you get
absolutely. You've got to have jeopardy. It makes the winning that much sweeter, but it also makes the losing that much more worse. And that's 100%. Why there's got to be jeopardy in it.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I've coached now soccer for a little bit of time. And obviously I'm coaching kids. You know, so I'm not this again. But I will tell you that the season I'm most proud of is we had like a Bad News Bears season. We had a bunch of kids. We had one great kid, one pretty okay kid, and the rest, lovely kids, but we were bad.
You know what that makes you, by the way, right? The retired alcoholic minor league coach that is coaching kids. But carry on. I mean,
so I'm just sitting there drinking on the sidelines. And that team, we lost so much in the beginning. And then when we started to win at the end, we had a 5-win run. And it's like, that was way more fulfilling than the other team I coached the year before that won every single game and went to the finals. Like, and it's like, there is this, I think that you can see growth. And, you know, I don't know if it is like an underdog thing or if it's just like, there's a story there. I think as a comedian, as an actor, whatever, you're looking for the narrative, right? Like, what's the narrative? And winning is not an interesting narrative. Every one of our movies is like, you lose everything and you got to go get it back, right? And I want that in sports. I want to see that.
When did you move to LA, by the way? What year did you move to LA?
I moved out here like around 2005, 2006.
So I'm curious because that was right around the time. So Beckham comes to this league in 2007 and he brought eyeballs to this league that we've never seen. Now Messi's trumped that times a million. But the point being is that when you move to LA, Beckham comes. Were you aware of that at that time at all?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Beckham to me was like, again, there are figures in sports that you don't have to follow anything about it. But I knew Beckham was in LA. I knew that he was playing for the Galaxy. I would watch highlights of him. He's also like a full celebrity as well.
Yeah.
Now, he did the thing that I thought was really interesting because he came to LA. Mm-hmm. You know, Messi didn't come to LA. Like, Messi, like, went to Miami, which I think is an interesting choice. But again, it's like you have old people, young people, everybody in between want to, like, I've talked to friends who've made pilgrimages to Miami to go see Messi play. And it's like,
I know.
I don't know where you get from that. But I think that you don't get that unless Beckham comes, you know, like, all right, like, Beckham, I think, lays down this thing. And, you know, if Donovan is, like, I mean, the Galaxy has got, like, this, an interesting history.
Oh, they've
got,
I mean, they've won more MLS Cups than anyone. Yet,
yeah, right.
When LAFC showed up, unlike your Clippers, right?
Yeah.
LAFC showed up, and all of a sudden, the Galaxy are under this microscope, and they're put under pressure that they've never been put under, not nationally, literally in their own city. That's where LAFC transformed this league, in my opinion. All of a sudden, you had an event, Paul. And that's what's interesting to me that I'm talking to you. We're talking about you moved to the Galaxy, to L.A. You knew about Beckham, but you didn't really get into it. You got into it when you showed up at Angel City and LAFC.
Well, I think part of that is, and this is the shitty part of it, celebrity, right? There's it's celebrity behind the field. Like,
I don't think it's a shitty part at all.
You know, but it's like you get, well, Will Ferrell's involved in it. Will Ferrell's like there. And like, I was so funny. I was playing, Will Ferrell and I were playing pickleball one night and I was walking out to the cars and I see this giant Hummer with like LAFC. And I joked, I was like, oh, is that your car? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, what? I didn't realize he drives that thing. But it's like, and that, you know, it's like, and you go, oh my gosh. And then it's like that energy, like, or you go, oh yeah, I love Will. All right. Oh, he likes that. Oh, great. That should be fun. Like there, I think part of that is like bringing it culturally in. I think what I'm constantly amazed at is soccer is a world sport. Every kid plays soccer. I played soccer, you know, but yet it's, I feel like right now we're just getting to the point where it's kind of crossing a zone that it hadn't been. And you're saying like, Beckham was here. It was a big deal. But right now, culturally, something is going on that I feel like is different, or my eyes are open to it.
Well, your eyes are open to it, but now there's an event. See, Paul, you and I played baseball. I played soccer, baseball, basketball, whatever.
Right.
You and I could go to a Yankees-Mets game. I could go to a Cardinals game. I can see and people playing the sport in my city of the sport that I love. Soccer was never there. It took us 28 years to get here. Now, you're not going to a soccer game when I played in a football stadium where it looks like it doesn't look right. This is their environment.
Yes, you feel connected.
There's an attachment to the team that now leads to the sport, which now means, Paul, when you and I are grandpas,
yeah,
our kids, the generation's going to pass down the trauma, the joy, whatever it is.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what I think is also really amazing. And tell me where you were when you're playing. You know, one of the things, again, I'm coming in, like when I came and watched games overseas, when I was in the UK and I saw games.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, the chants are ready to go. The things are going on. There's an energy that I'm like, I felt like a stranger in a strange land. And I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, when I come out to see Angel City, I go to see LAFC. I'm like, oh, there are these sections that are just.
Oh, yeah.
Embraced. Was that happening when you were there? Were there like
it was, but not at the level now. But again, I was, and I'm not saying this to be, but you just need, we needed time, Paul.
Right.
You can't all of a sudden have a supporter culture in 8 years.
You can't manufacture it.
When you're over in England, in Germany, because of the 100-year history, they feel like they own that team.
Right.
No different than you and the Jets, you and the Clippers.
Yes.
Me and my St. Louis Cardinals or St. Louis Blues. There's a part of my body that feels like, no, that's my
team.
Effing team.
I will tell you this. My friend Rudy gave me the best advice. He's like, yeah, look, if you ever get on camera, he's like, you always have to. It was the best thing. He's like, you always have to have two beers with you at a soccer game. If you ever get on camera, he's like, you get on camera, and you chug that one, and then you throw that down, and you go to the next one. I was like, I love this is the, but that's the energy that I grew up with. I want that, like.
That's what you want.
Chugging,
you want the energy.
I want that. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like,
you want
I
the
do
whole
think
thing.
You're, I think, but look, you've played in a lot of different places. LA has a tight butthole with everything. I don't like seeing live music. I see live music in LA, but there are these certain events, and that's where maybe the difference is. It's like soccer games are more fun because it feels like people are a little bit more relaxed, or you know what it is? You're bringing so many different types of people into one place.
It's the most inclusive sport of all the sports we go to, and all the sports that are from all over. LA's a melting pot. I don't need to tell you this. And you go to a stadium in downtown LA for 2 hours and everyone acts like crazy. 3252 is one of the loudest fan bases in the world. In the energy, you leave there with a positive feeling because you got an experience.
Yes.
You watched a sport. You met people. And you met people in a tight butthole community like LA that wasn't tight on that day.
Right. And that, to me, was leaving that game, that Galaxy game was we all experienced something. And I think that's the other thing too. I saw Beyonce at the Rose Bowl, and everyone takes an Uber there and then you can never get an Uber back. So you just wind up walking miles until you can, and I'm a fine Beyonce fan, but I'm not a super fan.
Uh-huh.
But we walked out of that thing. It was one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my entire life. And everyone's walking. And that's the thing. That is the vibe. You want to have that high. You want to have that high of we all just experience it. And I feel like that's what I felt like when we were leaving Carson. You could even see it in the energy of people driving. It was just we did it. We had we saw greatness. We saw this moment.
And you saw it in time stopped when Messi scored. Every single time he does something, it's for 2 minutes it stops.
It was crazy. It's I don't even understand it. It just was and the only bummer about it is you didn't have the celebration. You didn't have because it's not home turf, but it still was you're pinch me, a pinch me moment.
So I want to go back to your show. How did this get made? Any favorite or horrible soccer movies?
Oh my gosh. it's so funny. We have not done a bunch. There's one that's on my agenda that I want to do. It's about
Is it the FIFA finance movie, United Passions?
That's it.
By the way, I think it made $1,000 on opening week. because it, first off, it's a movie that was made by FIFA where they try to make themselves out as the good guys. Now, would you go see it?
No.
Exactly. So anyways, that's got to get on your, it's got to get
on
your show.
It's on a short list because I keep on seeing it.
It's called United Passions.
Right. Well, that's it. It's such a funny, I don't know if you remember this, but I believe CBS did a show paid for by the U.S. Postal Service, and they investigated postal crimes, and there's PSAs at the end of it, a G.I. Joe commercial, a G.I. Joe cartoon, and I was this is crazy. It's why are you getting into this business? This is not for you. Now, I'll tell you, we talk about bad movies. We talk about a lot of bad movies on the show. The one that I'll recommend is this this one movie called Miami Connection.
Okay.
Miami Connection was in Orlando. Orlando karate teacher who had a dojo financed his own movie about rock and roll, ninjas, and the drug trade. It's called Miami Connection, even though it takes place in Orlando. It was lost. It was never released in Alamo Drafthouse, great, cool movie theater in Texas that now is spread out all over the place. They found it at an auction. No one had seen it. They just bought the reel and whatever. They restored it. Enjoy Miami Connection. It is truly one of the most bizarre, funny, weird movies you'll ever see.
So how old are your kids?
They are, one's turning 10 in a couple days and the other one is 7. So 7 and 10.
So you got to, have you seen Ladybugs or no?
Oh, Ladybugs has been on our podcast and we actually, we've talked about, Patton Oswalt was on our episode when we talked about Ladybugs. And at one point, someone made a joke, what if David Lynch, the guy who directed Twin Peaks, directed Ladybugs, and our amazing producer, Avril, cut together this trailer of David Lynch's Ladybugs. I got to send it to you. It's one of my favorite things I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, but that's the other thing that I'm mad at. There's not enough soccer movies. Kicking and Screaming, fine. The movie that I did has a little bit of soccer in it, called Family Switch. It came out in December with Jennifer Garner. But it was like,
yeah.
But my kids are psyched. It's like, I don't understand why there's such a dearth of, I mean, to me, we need our, like, I think Ladybugs is trying to do it, but our Bad News Bears, we need our,
yeah, we
need
do.
Like a fun, we need a fun thing, you know, because I watch my kids, like my kids would eat it up. Like we have
yep.
tons of fun football movies. My kids wanted to start playing golf because I just showed them Happy Gilmore. They're like, you
exactly.
know, they're like, that's it. Like we
honestly,
just need-
honestly, Paul, you're going to laugh at this. When Messi retires, all he needs to do is be part of that movie.
Oh, 100%.
Because he resonates with anyone, and you can do the Bad News Bears when Messi makes an appearance.
You get a couple of great little fun cameos,
yes.
and then you're ready to go.
And as long as he's in it, because the only, like, my he's wearing a pink jersey. First off, brilliant.
Oh, it's genius, and every boy wanted it. It was awesome.
Genius.
I'll tell you this much. Here's my pitch. My quick pitch is, you make like Mike, but like Messi. Kid finds Messi's
yes.
cleats. And he's able to play great, and that's you put him in the MLS. It'd be amazing. There it is. Let's go get that made, like Messi.
Paul, this was great, man. This was great. This was when I had heard through the grapevine that you were at the Galaxy game. I'm like, I just want to have him on, talk about his experience. You were great in the league, dude. So
it's been absolutely amazing. I'm excited to be in this world because it was something that I never really, like we said, it wasn't in my backyard. It felt a little foreign, which it was. And now that we're in, it's so much fun. It's just the most fun.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. I appreciate you taking the time. And more importantly, good luck with the book, dude.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. A pleasure.
I appreciate Paul coming on. His book, Joyful Recollections of Trauma, comes out May 21st. Final word today goes to an offside listener who called in from my neck of the woods about my beloved New England Revolution.
Hi, Taylor. This is Mandy out in Western Mass. I'm curious for your take on the less than impressive start to the Revs season. What's going on? How much can we blame on the Champions Cup schedule? How much is kind of the normal growing pains of new coach? What else is going on? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
It's a great question, Mandy, honestly, because part of it is Caleb Porter's going to come in, trying to instill his new system, his new style of play, but some of that layover from Bruce Arena and that roster may inhibit that. However, what's been disappointing to me is the reaction from the players, the group of players. This is a highly experienced group, and they look flat, they look anemic, and they are not blameless. Those players have to be feeling pressure with how last season ended and how this season has started. But what I love about this part of the season is there is still time to turn it around. Think last year's Sporting Kansas City. They lost their first 10 straight and then went on to make the playoffs and upset St. Louis City, who won the West. Now, will the Revs or the Earthquakes be able to do that? I'm not so sure, but there's still a chance. But what I'm actually thinking about is doing an episode on the greatest comeback seasons in Major League Soccer history. So I want to hear from you. What is your favorite Major League Soccer comeback story? Teams, not players. Let me know. Call me, 646-571-8496. You can always find me on Twitter and Instagram at Taylor Twellman and on TikTok at Taylor Twellman _. Offside with Taylor Twellman is a Major League Soccer podcast produced by Apple TV and Rain Delay Media. Our executive producers are Peter Moses and John Yales. Isabel Angel is our editor. Michael Janot is our engineer. Jonah Buchanan and Iggy Monda are our producers. Music was composed by Brian Decker, and I am your host, Taylor Twellman. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts. I can't wait to when the Jets are in the Super Bowl. I'm going to call you. We're going to do a live podcast. You're going to be completely obliterated because you're not going to know what to do emotionally when the Jets are playing in the Super Bowl.
I'm going to be 97 years old if I and it's going to be like a combination XFL NFL. Like it's going to be like the Jets are throwing flaming balls and like two of the players are like AI sentient football players. They got the right upgrade.